We appreciate Pastor Elliott and Pastor Matt Gray in the back and Mary Lynn and all the people that work back there. Just give them a hand. They do an awesome job with our kids back in the area. And they're excited, too, that they're not portable anymore, having to set up and tear down children's ministry. And I know Doug is super excited that he doesn't have to carry that big TV down to the front anymore. So for them to do their, the little guys to do their worship. This morning I am not going to give a review. I am not going to explain, if you're a guest here with us today, what the title of my message is all about in this series. There comes a moment and times where God is speaking that He needs me to get right into the message. So if you've not heard part one or part two, or you're a guest with us and definitely haven't heard them, I'm going to encourage you to go to our website. You can listen to the audio there while you're driving in your car, or you can go to our webpage, Facebook page, North Elevation Church, and all of the messages that we show live here on Facebook are archived, and you can go listen to those two messages. I believe with all of my heart, a shift is about to take place here this morning. It began in the worship. There was something different. God's been doing something. God is up to something. Something large in your life today. God's up to something. The world overvalues 15 minutes of fame. I'm going to say it again. The world overvalues 15 minutes of fame. Let me bring it down more personal. People. Because when we say world, we think of, oh yeah, all those folks that live 100 miles from here. People overvalue 15 minutes of fame. And people undervalue lifelong faithfulness to prayer. People undervalue lifelong faithfulness to pray. And that leads me to my first truth this morning. A life that values prayer will turn boring into a spiritual adventure. I've said this over and over again through the years since we launched this church. Probably one of those threads that constantly runs throughout the year. That what you value, you will give a lot of time to. What you place value on, you'll even cut people off to do it. What you value, you will throw your energy into. What you value, you will throw your passion into. The reason prayer becomes boring is because we undervalue its importance. The day that we value prayer as we value other things, prayer moves from boring to the great adventure. When we start valuing prayer on the level that we value other things that we have passion for, then prayer becomes the great adventure. It becomes the adventure that leads you into the deeper depths in the presence of God that leads you to a clearer vision and sight and understanding of what God's will is for your life. But we're going to have to start placing greater value on it, on prayer. Prayer should not be in emergencies, although prayer's great to have in an emergency. But we should value prayer to the point that it's so precious to us that if I have to cut somebody off to spend time in prayer, that's exactly what I'm going to do. To value it on that level. The adventure becomes exciting when we value prayer. We need to value prayer. There's something else. something that we have all have a need for all of us to accept. It's a simple yet life-changing truth. It's four words. God is for you. God is for you. This is some confession time right now. Tell yourself, God is for me. God is for me. He's not against me. He's for me. God is for me. This is very, very important. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? God is for you, not against you. He's for you. He's not against you. Let me bring it down even closer to home. When people are against you, God's not. Say it again. When people are against you, God's not. God is for you. God is for you. Somebody needed to hear that this morning. It's one of my freebies. It's good stuff. God is for you. Here's the issue. If you don't believe that God is for you, you will not be in prayer long or see the things that you desire to see changed. If you don't believe God's for you, you won't pray long. And it'll be difficult to see the things you want to see changed because you don't believe God's for you. And if we don't value prayer, we won't pray long. Prayer needs to be valued on a level in our lives it's never been valued before. Jesus proved he valued being in his Father's presence. Paul proved that he valued being in God's presence. Study their lives. They were lives that valued prayer. They were lives that believed that God was for them. There's a shift happening right now, this moment. A shift to put a priority and a passion on prayer. And to put our feet in the ground and say, I don't care what anybody says. God is for me. He may not be for you, but he's for me. God is for you. Now let me get into the heart of part three. I want to talk to you about praying God's word. Praying God's word. We've got to put more value and have a greater passion for the Word of God, the bread of life, and begin to pray the Word of God. God has provided in our world tools. Say, Pastor, I'm not real sure how I can take a verse and how do you do that? Well, God's provided tools such as books like God's Creative Power. This book takes Scripture, hundreds of Scriptures, puts it in first person. You can change it to your family, your work situation, and pray the Word of God. I'm going to give you an example later. But we have got to learn to begin to pray the Word of God. The most powerful weapon on planet Earth in all the universe is what? The Word. We should be praying the Word of God. This is the bread of life. And that bread can break the yokes of bondage. Hallelujah. That bread can set the captive free. We're in day 7 of a fast where we're praying and fasting. Have you been journaling? If you haven't, start. Because you're going to journal at times God's word, the bread of life. And I promise you, in the days, the weeks, the months, and the years to come, it will become very important to you. Journal during this fast. Because you're going to begin to plant the Word of God into your prayers, the bread of life, that will come back to you in the weeks and the months and the years to come, that will bring strength to you in a time when the enemy may be attacking you. And in that moment, you remember and you put him down with the power of the Word. It's important that you journal during this season. Talk to you about praying God's Word this morning. Truth number 2, God's Word has an essential role in all aspects of your prayer life. Let me say this, whatever time that you are spending in your devotional life, I hope strongly that half of that time is spent in the book. That half your devotional time is all about the Word of God, the bread of life. I'm going to drill down a little more on that in a moment. But half our time should be all about feeding on the Word of God during your devotional time. Feeding on the Word of God. Samuel Chadwick said this. I love this. He wrote, "I never take any book but the Bible into the secret place. It is my prayer book." We call the secret place a lot of things. Some call it the priest chamber. Some call it prayer closets, prayer rooms. We have different names for it. One of my favorite evangelists that I knew, Billy Gibson, he took me to his prayer room one time, and I couldn't wait to see it. Being an evangelist, I thought this would be the coolest room in the whole house. And it was the spare bathroom in the hallway. And he reached behind the commode. He had a little rack thing. He reached back there, and I mean, this back in the cassette tape days, and he had his cassette tapes with worship music and stuff and everything, and he had a pad that he pulled out from behind it so that he could sit on the commode, be more comfortable, and that was his prayer room. And God used him in amazing ways because he would sit in that room and he would spend most of his time in God's Word, praying God's Word and worshiping God, doing his devotional time. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word that speaks, God speaks. For the word that God speaks is alive, full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and shifting. God's shifting us today. What's he shifting us towards? A greater passion. Placing greater value on prayer. And praying his word. Shifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. Truth number 3 today. Devotional books, I told you I'd drill down. Devotional books are good as long as they do not take the place of God's word. Well, Pastor, do you not use them? No, I do. But they do not take the place of the time I spend in God's Word. They're tools. You might use it in the morning right off to just get you going, and then you get into the Word of God. It's important that we spend our time, most of our time, in the Word of God. Oswald Sanders testified this. "A change came when I learned to use the Scriptures as a prayer book and to turn what I read, especially in the Psalms, into prayer." Life changed when he figured out that the bread of life was what he should be praying. Well, Pastor, is everything I face in here? Yes, it is. There's nothing in your life that you can't find a scripture to pray towards that particular issue. The bread of life spoken is powerful. You know, Jesus told the disciples when they said, hey, Jesus, teach us how to pray. It doesn't say it, but I'm just being me. you read that, I would have been one of the disciples going, seriously? You go up and disappear for hours and days, and that's all you give us? He gave them what they needed. We need to understand one part of that. I know it's been used for a lot of things, but from the first time I ever read it, I saw it as one thing. When he said in the prayer, give me this day my daily bread. What is the most important thing to your life? It's not money. It's this. The bread of life. Give me today, God, the bread that I need for this day. Because without this bread, I might not see the money. I might not see the things that I'm believing God for. God, today, what is it in this book that I need? Give me my daily bread for me. Bread of life. It's so important. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, you should crave, thirst for, earnestly desire the pure, unadulterated spiritual milk, that by it you may be nurtured and grow unto complete salvation. We are going to mature through the time that we invest in the Word of God. Do we value it enough to make more time? To make more time. What's robbing my time and keeping me from the bread of life? Spend time in the bread of life. Truth number four today, a major reason for weak prayer lives is neglecting God's word. It's just a truth. Neglecting God's word creates weak prayer lives. We must be in God's word. The more that we constantly feed on God's word, like 1 Peter 2:2 tells us, the deeper and more fruitful our prayer life will be. The more we feed on God's word, the more fruitful our prayer life would be. And this is important. This book is the food source to stronger faith. This book is the food source to stronger faith. This book. No other book but this book. Deuteronomy 8:3 says, and he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This is his voice. This is his words. The bread of life. Jesus defeated Satan in the wilderness by pointing to the essential truth that the Word of God was the most powerful thing on planet Earth, in the universe, and that it would defeat the devil. Jesus defeated him through what? The Word. Not some cool statement or saying he came up with. or teaching. He didn't start teaching. He spoke the word. And the devil left. The word of God. Most important thing in our lives. Matthew 4, verse 3 through 4 says, "And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But he answered, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Now let me read verse 4 in a different translation. "But he replied, 'It has been written, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.'" You know what's going to hold you up when you feel like you can't stand up? The bread of life is going to help you stand when everybody around you is saying, "Give up." Because you've been feeding on the Word of God, you'll be able to stand. When someone tells you, it's obvious God's not with you, He's not for you, because you've been feeding on the Word and you believe the Word, you'll stand up and say, "You're wrong. I don't care what I'm going through. God is for me. God is for me." Truth number 5. God's Word nourishes your prayer, strengthens your prayer, and builds your faith as you pray. It feeds and nourishes and brings strength. The truth is, you cannot live the Christian life apart from feeding and assimilating this word into your life. It's not just feeding on it, it's assimilating this word into your life. It means you read it, you believe it, and then you live it. You assimilate it. You begin to do what it says. You assimilate this word into your life. Your spiritual growth depends on it. But let me say this. It's the difference between strong faith and weak faith. Feeding and assimilating the Word of God. Now, Andrew Murray wrote something. You'll have to really read with me here. It's an interesting statement that he made that I want to bring to you today. "Little of the Word with little prayer is death to the spiritual life. Much of the Word with little prayer gives a sickly life. Much prayer with little of the Word gives more life, but without steadfastness. A full measure of the Word and prayer each day gives a healthy and powerful life." I think he said that pretty well. Prayer changes things. We've heard that forever, right? Let me add something to it. A lot of that depends on what you're feeding on. The prayer that will change things is the prayer that is coming from the bread of life. The bread of life. The bread of life that we pray. The bread of life. There's a shift happening right now because God is up to something. God's up to something large in your life. Jesus promised in John 15, 7 and 8, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Back to verse 7. If, don't you hate that word? If what? You abide in me. Is this him? Is this his voice? This is him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then whatever you ask shall be. I love God, though. He's got a sense of humor. It shall be, but it may be a little bit different than you thought. But he answered the prayer. He's a good father. He's a good father. In my conclusion, before I do what the Holy Spirit instructed me to do, listen carefully to these words and let them inspire you. It's a true story. Jonathan Goforth was mightily used in his prayer life because he constantly saturated his soul with God's word. Listen carefully. Every morning, Goforth, within a half hour of rising, began intensive Bible study with pencil and notebook. Whether preaching or doing personal evangelism, Goforth always had an open Bible in his hands. At one point in his life, he had read the entire Bible 35 times in the Chinese language alone. Jonathan read his Chinese New Testament 60 times. And by the time of his death, he had read the entire Bible consecutively 73 times. Now listen to some of his last words. He said, "I am ever wishing I could spend several hundred years in the Bible." Would you say the man placed a great value on the book? Do you think the man had a passion for the truth? I would have loved to be knelt down in the same room with him and listen and learn. Just learn. You're moving today. I'm saying this because I believe it. I've seen it by the Spirit's eye through the week. Last night it was so real. This morning it was so real. You are moving today from where you were to a new place. There are tools. I write out my own now, but there are times that I will use certain tools when I'm on the road or I'm in a place. I keep one of these with me. I give these away all the time. I want you to just listen how you can pray the Word of God. I am the body of Christ, and Satan hath no power over me. For I overcome evil with good. 1 Corinthians 12:27 and Romans 12:21. I love to pray the word and then remind the devil what verse I'm talking about. I am of God, and I have overcome him, Satan. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Oh, I love this one. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, Lord. Your word and your spirit, they comfort me. Psalms 23:4. I am far from oppression, and fear does not come nigh me. Isaiah 54:14. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. But whatever I do will prosper, for I'm like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Isaiah 54:17 and Psalms 1:3. Let me give you one more. I am delivered from the evils of this present world, for it is the will of God. Galatians 1:4. I'm going to tell you, the last thing the deceiver Satan wants you to do is to know that book, because he can't stand up to it. It will defeat him every time. Pray the rest of this fast. Pray the Word of God. Pray the Word of God. You may be here right now today, and you would love to experience the deeper depths of God's presence. But there's one thing. It's a little thing. It's a simple thing. Yet it's a life-changing decision that you have to make. And that decision is, I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I need to step out and do that. I want His presence, but I've not made Him Lord of my life. But you today want to shift into the saving grace and arms of Jesus. If that's you this morning, I want you to just raise your hand, just boldly raise your hand this morning. I'm not going to have you come forward or anything, just raise your hand, anyone. Okay. Church, are you ready for the shift? God, I can't say enough, God is up to something large in your life. Something large in your life. Father, we come to you this morning and we glorify the name of Jesus Christ. You made sure no man would get the glory for us getting this building. You have made it clear this is your place where you get all the glory. We praise you. We glorify you. I worship the Lion of Judah. You are the lily of the valley. You are the bright and morning star. You are the Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. You are the great I Am. And Father, I thank you that in the days to come, it will become so real to everyone in this room and who's listening through that camera right now, that a shift has taken place. And there's a new excitement about the reality as I dive into the Word of God. God's about to do something large in my life. Father, we give you the praise and we give you the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. I want to remind you that we are going to carry out another piece of the vision of North Elevation Church that we've never been able to do. It was always in our vision from the get-go. I'll never forget casting that vision. 10 years later, we get to live the vision. We're going to have what we call First Wednesdays right here on Wednesday nights. It'll only be the first Wednesday night of the month. We'll do it February through all the way through November. We'll take December and January off because they're busy times. It'll be a different service. It'll be 55 to about 65 minute service. Everything's going to be different. Worship will be different. There'll be teaching. There'll be personal ministry. There'll be prayer. I'm just encouraging you, don't miss it. It's good to just sit together and just have a time of soaking in the presence of God in a different way. Having personal ministry. I know we're in a COVID season. We're working through that. We got some cool ideas about that. So, but come if you can. It'll be at 7 p.m. coming this first Wednesday night of February. and have you out of here in time to get your kids home, do whatever with them. I do want to tell our people that are on Facebook, I can't guarantee that we'll always be live, because we have people who do all this that have other responsibilities in their lives and jobs, but we'll do it when we can. If you're ready to come back, we encourage you to do that on a Wednesday night. I know there's some of our church members have their jobs have shifted. Anybody had your job shift through COVID? They're having to work nights, can't be here. Work Sundays during the day and can't be here, and they're really looking forward to the Wednesday night service. So I encourage you to be a part of that. It is a part of the vision here. It's not something we just come up with. It's always been a part of who we are, what we knew we were to be, and we just finally get to do it. Are you thankful for the building? Woo! Yeah. Well, if you're a guest with us today, would you please stop by the Connection Center if you did not already get a gift bag? We have a gift bag for you. And I encourage you to fill out the Connection card as much as you feel comfortable in doing, and just leave it with the ladies back there. Have a great week. Get your expectations up. God's about to do something large in your life. Amen. You're dismissed.